Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome the four diverse personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back three regular players of the game, that is Paul Merton, Peter Jones, and Clement Freud, and we welcome someone who's never played the game before, and that is Greg Proops. Would you welcome all four of them? Besides me sits Miriam Jones, who's going to keep a score and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I will ask them all to speak on the subject that I will give them. And they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And this particular recording of Just a Minute is coming from the Pleasance Theatre on the Fringe during the Edinburgh Festival. We'll begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, would you talk on the subject of Prince's Street starting now?
Prince's Street is a long thoroughfare that runs through the centre of Edinburgh. It is a...
And Peter Jones' challenge.
Hesitation.
He hesitated, he got into Prince's Street, and he has to stop. 55 seconds are left. You get a point, of course, Peter, for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of Prince's Street starting now.
I remember so well my first sight of it when I came here on tour, theatrical, that is, and stayed with Mrs. McNabb in Four Brome Place. What a wonderful place it was. This was the best theatrical digs.
Paul Merton's challenge.
Repetition of plays.
There were two places, yes.
Right.
Yes, I stayed with Mrs. McNabb, too, when I was on tour. Yes. A lovely old lady she was. 41 seconds are left. Paul, you've got a point for a correct challenge. Prince's Street starting now.
And if you walk down Prince's Street, even today, you can see Mrs. McNabb busking away, trying to earn enough money for a second operation.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
No, you can't. You can't. She's gone to a better place.
Yes. Definitely, yes. 36 seconds, Peter. Correct challenge. Prince's Street starting now.
And whatever operation she had, I don't know anything about. But she did provide the most wonderful coal fires and an extraordinary lavatory. The chain was disappeared into the ceiling of the room above. I don't know how it was arranged, but it was such a long way up. And you pulled this and waited a long time, and then occasionally a little water came down.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of long.
A long, yes. It was too long, yes.
Yes.
Paul Merton, you've got in another point, another correct challenge. 12 seconds, Prince's Street starting now.
I've often stood in the centre of Prince's Street and looked up at the castle at the top of the hill and wondered whether the people there looked down on Prince's...
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of looked.
Yes, there was too much looking. And Clement, you've got in with 4 seconds on Prince's Street starting now.
I have often looked up Prince's Street and occasionally...
Whoever is speaking when the whistle is blown gains an extra point, and this occasion was Clement Freud. And they're all equal, actually, at this particular moment, so we'll carry on with the show. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject...
How can Greg be equal with anybody?
I'll say that again.
I mean, if there's a rule that you get points for not saying anything, then... It's going to be an odd kind of show.
No.
And I think I'm going to win.
We've got the score right now. Clement has got an extra one for speaking the whistle. When he and Peter Jones and Paul Merton are equal in the lead, and Greg Proops has yet to score. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is my worst joke, and there are 60 seconds to tell us something about it, starting now.
My worst joke is about an Englishman, a Scotsman, an Irishman, and a Welshman who met up with a Finn, a Dane, several other Scandinavians, a Bulgarian, a Romanian, and somebody who came from Czechoslovakia. They went to a restaurant in order to have breakfast, and the waiter said, "What sort of cereals would you like? Have you got All Bran, Frosties, shredded wheat, muesli, or would you prefer porridge?" said the man in the white coat, to which nobody actually had an answer, with the exception of the goat, who mentioned that the higher the fewer would be preferable to sitting in Westminster Abbey on a Tuesday afternoon.
Paul Merton challenge.
This is just rubbish.
It is not the first time that rubbish has been spoken in just a minute.
You mean it's not a very good joke?
I have heard worse.
You have heard worse? Well, I quit. I couldn't agree on that. I haven't heard worse. So, Clement gets another point. 13 seconds, my worst joke starting now.
Who was that lady I saw you with last night? That was not a female. It happened to be a relative of mine.
Paul Merton Challenge.
Well, he's doing another joke now. They can't both be his worst joke.
That is a correct challenge. Paul, deviation, point to you. 5 seconds, my worst joke starting now.
There's two flies playing...
Greg proves your challenge.
I just happen to know that's not Paul's worst joke. I've seen his act, and that doesn't even come close.
So we enjoyed the challenge, Greg. So what I'm going to do is give you a bonus point, because the audience love that challenge.
Thanks, Nick.
Yes, there it is. And Paul was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. And 3 seconds on my worst joke, Paul, starting now.
And one fly says to the other...
Peter Jones challenge.
Repetition of flies.
Yes, you mentioned
no,
the flies.
I said two flies.
Oh, you're two right, flies. You did say two flies, and this is one fly.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Mm. And you can... But that's how you play the game! So, Paul, you've still got 1 second to make some more points. My worst joke starting now.
And looking down...
So, Paul Mutton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point for doing so. He's now taking a strong lead at the end of that round. Peter Jones, will you take the next round? The subject, getting the bird. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, here in Scotland, a great many people go to a lot of trouble and expense to get the bird. On the moors, when they start shooting, these ludicrous people dressed in heather-woven suits and things with a lot of beaches.
Greg, did you challenge?
No, but I will if you like.
Yes, right.
I'm just kind of bored right now.
Yes, right.
Well, I'm sorry it happened to me. I was speaking.
No, that's exactly why, though.
So it was, what was it, deviation on heather-woven suits?
Yes, that's what it was, Nick.
Yes, right.
Very perceptive of you, by the way.
No, I thought it was your quick perception that I was really impressed with. Yes, I think that's deviation, a heather-woven suit. 46 seconds for you, Greg, to tell us something about...
Haven't you ever heard of a heather mixture?
Yes.
I'm that, sorry, I withdraw the
objection. No, that is the appearance, the heather mixture. It's not the weaving. So, Greg...
Of course it's the weaving. That's what
it's
makes
not the
it a mixture.
It's not the material. Greg, you have a correct challenge. 46 seconds, getting the bird, starting now.
A bird that people often want to receive is a little-known bird of the Highlands called the heather bird. It's not exactly the weave of the bird's feathers, it's just the look of them and their luminosity as they wing their way across the lochs and eyries of this festive land. Each heather bird...
Paul Merton challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think it was hesitation.
Oh,
you were
I'm
going
sorry,
so
there was
well.
A dramatic pause. Maybe you... Paula, if you had been trained as an actor, as I had...
Yes. You would know how to milk an audience like he was milking them just then. So it was a definite hesitation, Greg. So Paul's got in 30 seconds on getting the bird, starting now.
This is a phrase which often refers to somebody who's been on stage, who hasn't gone down very well with the audience, and they get the bird. It's a kind of noise, like a sort of sound.
And Greg, challenge.
I love his eyes. I could swim in your eyes.
Did you really? Yeah.
What's that got to do with just a minute?
I'm sorry, I was deviating.
He gets a point for being interrupted. 18 seconds, Paul, on getting the bird, starting now.
Every Christmas, my mother would promise to make us a turkey. Well, she wouldn't make it. I mean, she was created by God, but she'd
Clement make it. Freud challenge.
Repetition of make.
Yes. 14 seconds, Clement, getting the bird, starting now.
The French call it recevez l'oiseau. And it's one of the few six-letter words that includes every single vowel in the alphabet. O-I-E-A-U, not necessarily in the correct order, but there they are.
Clement Royd was then speaking as the whistle wing gained the extra point for doing so. He's in second place behind Paul Merton, our leader. Great Proops, will you take the next round? The subject, gizmos. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
One of the most popular gizmos that's virtually unheard of in the United Kingdom is a gizmo that Nicholas Parsons often uses. It's called the defashionizing machine. He puts his suits through it each morning so that all scintillas of taste or decorum are removed and you're left with what a circus clown would wear. Interestingly enough, Nicholas is not the first to use the...
Clement Royd challenge.
Two Nicholases.
Yes, you repeated Nicholas.
Oh, I was referring to another Nick. You don't know him. He lives in my neighborhood. Sorry, go ahead.
Mind you, I didn't mind you repeating that, but I'm afraid within the rules of the game, it was repetition. So, Clement, 36 seconds to tell us something about gizmos, starting now.
Gizmos is very nearly an anagram of moggies, which are cats and other nasty, obscene animals which litter the streets of Edinburgh, especially princes.
Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, he came to a full stop. Yes, 23 seconds, gizmos with you, Paul, starting now.
I used to buy Superman comics when I was younger, and the back pages of this particular publication was filled with adverts for all kind of weird and wonderful inventions. X-ray specs was something that I always wanted to...
Clement Royd challenge.
Two somethings.
Yes, 11 seconds, gizmos, Clement, starting now.
One of my favorite gizmos appears every other week at the Leicester Square Theatre, and I very seldom miss these great appearances.
Clement Royd got the extra point. He's now 1 point behind Paul Merton, who's our leader, and Greg Proops and Peter Jones are trailing a little to equal in third place. Paul Merton, your turn to begin. The subject, a doddle.
I was walking down the street the other day and a man said to me, could you possibly put this piece of litter into the bin? I said, well, of course, it would be a doddle. And when I performed this particular task, he decided to give me an awful amount of money. I was given £5,000 by this very gentleman simply because I had placed this piece of rubbish in the aforementioned receptacle.
Oh, Peter Jones' challenge.
It was shot through with repetition.
Shot. Well, give me one repetition.
Rubbish.
I can't remember. But, I mean, there were an awful lot of repetitions.
Putting unless it in you, the litter. And
unless you can
sort of
give
thing.
Me one.
Peace.
Ah, yes, all right, peace. He did mention the word peace twice. Right, 39 seconds for you, Peter, on a doddle starting now.
Yes, it's something to do with smoking a pipe, I think. There's a lot of doddle in the bottom of it. It's very unpleasant stuff, I believe. People, you see them spitting it out onto the street if they're puffing away at one of these briar things that they have in their mouth, with tobacco, a lot of it. And they soil the pavement and the gutter. And altogether, it's a very unpleasant thing to have. And I advise you to get rid of it, if you've got any, in the base of your puffing instrument.
Paul, you challenged.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, I think so, yes.
Yes, it seemed rather a long time to me. I don't know how it got up.
I think for the sake of our listeners, I should explain. I think they were being a little bit unkind, letting Peter stagger on. They knew he'd hesitated a long time previously. But Paul couldn't cope with it anymore.
Oh, you're just being sadistic.
Yes, so Paul got him with 5 seconds to go on the subject of a doddle starting now.
I was sitting in my living room one afternoon when I suddenly looked down at the...
Greg Proops, yes.
This has nothing to do with the beginning of the story in which he was discussing a woman who gave him a large amount of money to put something in the rubbish bin.
That's true. That is perfectly true, but he can still do that in just a minute.
Sorry. I could still swim in your eyes.
I know you're playing to them magnificently. Greg, an incorrect challenge, and Paul's got another point, and he's only got half a second on a doddle starting now.
Mount Everest.
So at the end of that round, Paul Merton has increased his lead. And Peter, your turn to begin. The subject is how to make a million. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, you don't say a million what? I don't know what you're referring to, really. It could be a million enemies. You could make a million enemies by appearing on television and saying...
Paul Merton challenge.
A repetition of enemies.
Too many enemies, Peter, I'm afraid.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So, Paul, you've got in 52 seconds on how to make a million, starting now.
It's quite clear that I have no idea how to make a million. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting here next to Nicholas Parsons playing Just the Minute. Because I would be out somewhere, possibly cruising around the Caribbean in a luxury yacht, waving to natives as they pass by. Hello, there's Mrs. McNabb. Over there is somebody else. And I would...
Tim and Freud challenge.
Two theirs.
They're over there, yes, there's somebody else. Yes.
Mm.
Man, he is strict.
We've never had such a prejudiced audience in my life. They've all taken sides. They know who they want to win, right? 32 seconds, Clement. How to make a million, starting now.
On a financial basis, the very best way to make a million would be to go to a South American country where £1 is probably worth 45 million, whatever the denomination is. Italy, I would like to recommend, where 2,400 lira or thereabouts is equal to one sterling unit.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of equal?
Yes. We had equal, but yes. 12 seconds for you, Paul. Another point to you, how to make a million, starting now.
It is often said that the best way to make a million is to start with a million. Millionaires have no trouble acquiring more of the same. If you were starting at the lower rung of the ladder, it's very difficult to see how you...
Paul Merton was again speaking as a whistle when, and he has increased his lead at the end of that round. A great proof, it's your turn to begin. The subject, genes. 60 seconds starting now.
Genes were invented in California during the gold rush by one Mr. Levi Strauss, who put steel rivets on the front of the crotch, if you will. The miners found, however, when they stood next to the fire to warm themselves at night, that the bolts that had been put on the front of their jeans heated up to extreme temperatures, and they were forced to leap back for the fire, ripping down their pants and disclosing their undershorts to the other miners. This led to many campfire romances in the Old West, which, of course, led to the overpopulation of California, which we have today. Now, I've said California at least 15 times.
And Paul Merton was the first to challenge.
A repetition, California,
yeah,
12 times.
Yeah. 25 seconds, Paul. Jeans starting now.
They are a very popular trouser for people to wear, I suppose, because they're hard wearing. The word denim, I believe, comes from a French town called Denim, where this material was first invented. Levi Strauss was a man who used to stay with Mrs. McNabb in Princes Street. And he would watch her every night, and he'd get the idea for himself to build himself a new...
Clement Freud challenge.
To himself.
Himself, yes. Clement, you've got him with 2 seconds to go on jeans, starting now.
Jeans is the plural of Jean.
Roy was then speaking as a whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, but he's still in second place behind Paul Merton, our leader. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject, fair. Will you talk on that subject in this game, starting now?
Oh, how I love fun fairs. I walk around and soak up the atmosphere. Candy floss, merry-go-rounds, ghost trains, big dippers, toffee apples, sawdust, clowns, acrobats, merry children running around with excited smiles on their faces. Mummy, can I have a go on this? I don't know what it...
Peter Jones are challenged.
That sawdust in the middle of that. I don't know what would be fascinating about sawdust. Didn't seem to fit in quite to me.
I think it's a thing I associate immediately with funfairs, Peter. I'm sure the audience agreed. Do you agree? I always bow to their superior judgment and wisdom. Right?
I'd have to say that was a wicked weak challenge, Peter.
So, you don't have to say that at all.
I'm just recognizing it.
This is
I
your first and very likely last appearance in this game. And we can do without that kind of extraneous comment. Mm.
So, you get another point there.
Sorry, Pete.
40 seconds with you, Paul, on fair, starting now.
I've always fancied having blonde hair, so I went down to the chemist's last week and bought a bottle of peroxide. That's why you see me now sitting here as the living image of Marilyn Monroe. I get stopped in the street by people who say, but you're gorgeous. What's the difference? And I say, look, it's my hair. It's now...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Two hairs.
Yes, you talk about your hair.
Well, I thought I'd have it all done, you know. So.
And I must explain to our listeners, he hasn't dyed his hair. It's not all peroxide. It's his natural colour, as far as we know. 21 seconds for you.
Is grey your natural colour, presumably?
No, I've dyed it that colour. Yes. Make myself look older and more mature so I can be in this position and you can take the mickey out of me.
Well, a lot of people wouldn't have made the effort, but thank you.
So, 21 seconds for you, Clement. Subject is fair, starting now.
If someone was to say that Nicholas Parsons is fair, they would possibly be talking about his complexion or maybe the colour of his teeth. But he is totally bent. Not only that, possibly the worst chairman that any panel game has...
Greg Proops, who challenged?
I believe I heard two possiblys.
An absolute rubbish as well.
No, yeah. I think everybody's in agreement with the actual...
So my job's on the line, is it, Clement? Right.
No, it's not on the line. It's you've been sacked.
By the team. Greg, yes, you were correct. Repetition.
Oh, I was.
Yes.
Then I'd like my point now.
You've got your point, and you've
Cheers.
Got 4 seconds to go on the subject of fairs, starting now.
Fairs are often wonderful and magical places for children of...
So Greg Proops was then speaking as the whistle went, and he gained an extra point for doing so, and he's moved forward, but he's still in third place. Peter Jones is trailing a little, Clement Freud's in second, and Paul Merton is still our leader. Clement, will you take the next round? The subject, press. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Press is what you would do to your jeans if they were baggy or had anything other than sharp, razor-edged creases, which I don't believe trousers normally do, and look... I think, to me, particularly unimpressive when so tailored. I once lived...
Paul, you challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed.
Somebody just laid an egg in the front row.
39 seconds on press, Paul, starting now.
I should think in about half an hour's time this building will be surrounded by the press because a lady in the front row has laid an egg. This will surely make the front page of every single newspaper in Great Britain. The Sun, The Mirror, Telegraph, Guardian, Times will all rush to this very venue, eager to get a photograph and a first...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Not all of them. The feathered world will try and keep it a secret.
Peter, we like the challenge and we haven't heard from you for ages. 20 seconds on press, starting now.
The press, what an interesting subject. How do they think of it?
Wait a minute, you were challenged.
Oh, was I?
Yes?
Hesitation?
No, I disagree. Come on. Peter, 17 seconds on the press, starting now.
Press is the word you see on a bell push, and the instruction is to press on it, you see, and it's about the only electronic device that rarely fails. Even these buzzers that we have in our hands, they don't have that magic word on them, but they have been known.
So Peter Jones kept going to the whistle end, gained an extra point for doing so, and he's still in fourth place. Greg Proops, it's your turn to begin. The subject is what I read. 60 seconds starting now.
My main subject of interest is baseball, the history of which I am very interested in. 1903, the first World Series. The Boston Americans played the Pittsburgh Nationals. They won 5-3, 1904. No show was played. 1905, the New York Giants played the Philadelphia...
Paul Merton challenged.
Three played.
Yes, and 19 as well. So, Paul, the correct challenge, 37 seconds. What I read starting now?
I read all about baseball all the time.
Right, Greg, you've got in there, yes.
I think it's obvious.
Yes. All right, 34 seconds, what I read, Greg, starting now.
Paul's comprehensive knowledge of the game of baseball...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of baseball.
You mentioned baseball before.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I thought I had a fresh new start.
No. You can say what you like, what you said in this round, in another round, but you can't repeat it in this round.
I'm utterly confused by that explanation, thank you. I defer to Mr. Freud.
Yes, Mr. Freud has it. 30 seconds, Clement, what I read starting now.
What I read is predominantly books, magazines, papers, and periodicals. But every now and again, I come across original manuscripts, which I read from left to right unless they are in Sanskrit, when the process is reversed. Words, syllables, letters are often interspersed by pictures, which I take in my sight normally, even if the pages are not turned by my butler, who is employed...
So at the end of that round, poor Clement Freud was then speaking as a whistle went, gained an extra point. He's still in second place. We have time for one more round. Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. It could be anybody's contest still except for Peter Jones and Greg Proopsmith. Clement, the subject is painting a master. Will you tell us something about that in this game starting now?
Painting a master used to be punished by 4 hours detention in the school to which I went. One got this master, undressed him, and slapped red, blue, green, yellow, and red colouring all at...
Paul Merton Chum.
Repetition of red.
Yes. Paul, you've got in with 45 seconds to go on this subject. Painting a master starting now.
I believe that Vincent van Gogh sold very few paintings during his lifetime, but the pictures that have survived him are now sold for millions of pounds.
Greg Proops challenge.
Sold twice.
Yes, he didn't sell many, he only sold twice. Right, 35 seconds, painting a master starting now.
In baseball, when one throws a pitch over the outside part of the plate, it's called painting. One of the masters at this trade was Steve Carlton, also known as Lefty, who threw the spheroid horsehide-covered thing through the air, across the dish, whiffing many batters. This makes no sense to many people in England, much like wearing a white V-neck jumper during a cricket game makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of sense.
Yeah, you had too much sense in there, I'm afraid.
Call me Jane Austen. Yes. And then ask me dancing.
Right, there we are, yes.
If you will.
So, you were applauding his erudition, obviously. 12 seconds for you, Paul.
Someone has to.
Painting a master is the subject. There are 12 seconds left with you, Paul, starting now.
William Turner specialized in painting seascapes. He would get a ship, some water, a bit of paint, and would look up at it and think, yes, I think that's going to be 2 by...
Well, at the end of the show, I just have to say that Peter Jones and Greg Proops, who didn't get many points, but they gave incredible contributions. Yeah. Clement Freud gave his equally good contribution, gained a number of points. But the winner of this week's show, that was Paul Merton. It remains for me to thank our 4 talented players of the game. I also must thank Miriam Jones, who's kept the score. Also the creator of the game, Crossier Messiter, who keeps us in work. And our producer, Sarah Smith. And from me, Nicholas Parsons, and all of them, goodbye until we play once more, just a minute. Bye-bye.